program. 503-733-2970. And by the way, if you were thinking about having children, Sarah Dillon?
Nope.
If you were thinking about dating a boy who wanted children, Sarah Dillon? Sorry, am I choking on your cauliflower?
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh. Here's a little thing. I'm going to give you a little thing here, Sarah. A little gift from me to you. You can tack this up on the bedroom wall or wherever it is, above the sofa. Anytime Nate starts getting that glow around him, starts talking about, I'd like to hear the pitter-paddle of little feet around the house or whatever the hell they say. Now, this is an old joke, so this will work for no one but the three of us in this room. So you just got to be okay with that. This would have been hilarious last Thursday when this actually came out, so you all could have gone to see it too. I just want you to look at this. This is the front of last Thursday's living section. It's a whole article called, Is Your Child Spoiled? And then it's accompanied by a huge picture of...
You know that's got to go on the wall.
What's that?
That picture has to go on the wall.
It's accompanied by a huge photograph. And it's a girl, right? That's a girl, isn't it?
Looks like a boy.
Some little kid. Whatever.
Some kid with a mullet.
Why can't kids be... Whatever happened to kids? Whatever happened to boys looking like boys, says Scotty. Do you ever do that, though, where you see something, like you meet somebody who has a kid, and you're like, what a cute little girl. His name is Chester. You know, and she's like,
I was
just
saying child. Just say child. Your child is adorable.
What a cute thing you have with you. What's its name?
Well, I mean, everyone calls Muppet a girl.
Well, Muppet, well, same with Max, because he's all...
But now he looks tough because he has a mohawk.
Yeah, sure, he looks really tough.
I'm going to dye it pink today.
Okay. So the article here in the living section is Your Child Spoiled? And then it's accompanied by a photograph that's about 9 inches high of a kid looking right into the camera and screaming. I mean, seriously, you look at the... Look, I know it's... And I'm not saying it's wrong to strike children physically. It is wrong. It's wrong and you shouldn't do it, and I'm sincere about that. It is sometimes understandable, the urge to do that, though. In fact, let me just tell you this, and then we'll move on. Because I don't want to sit there and we'll talk about sport. This is by some special about them. My child is very bright. Sure it is. And often interrupts adult conversations with his opinions. Is this normal for smart? Your child is not bright. Just shut the hell up. But anyway, so there's a huge picture of this child screaming. But I got to tell you this real quickly before we go to the Ministry of Truth. I was talking the other day about the number of parents I know who, when the kid isn't around and maybe they've had a beer or two, will openly say, I wish I'd never had you. Biggest mistake I ever made. Oh, the things I'd do over. I can tell you this. The number of parents that I talk to, and somebody who I will not identify, just the other day was saying this to me. This person who has children and who is a responsible adult, a person that is responsible, a person that is very professional, very mature. I'm not going to say who it was. No, she's not. She's neither mature or responsible. A person we know who's very much very upset, knows what they're doing, has their crap together, made some comment to the effect of, boy, you know, I'd never hit my kids, but boy, I'd like to sometimes. Some of you just want to beat them in the face. And I'm just sort of backing away like, okay, look at the time. I have to run. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A skirt chasing Portland cop resigns. Happened yesterday. Portland police officer pleading guilty to 2 counts of official misconduct for asking 2 ladies to show him their underwear during traffic stops in July. This former cop is a 31-year-old John Alexander Wood. He agreed to resign, had his police certification revoked immediately, and faced 2 years probation and 100 hours of community service. Portland Police Chief Rosie Sizer said in a news conference she was disturbed to learn of the allegations, raised the complaint and review system that acted swiftly to investigate. The 2 women who reported the incident to police in July 26, 5 days after it happened. Police encouraged a woman to file a complaint with the Independent Police Review Division. After the women did so, the detectives began a separate investigation and found Wood.
How do you... This got me up right in the past there, but it was genius. It was all for the best.
It was.
I was just going to say, I don't understand how you... How do you even investigate that? He told me to show him my panties. What investigation? Really, how is it that one...
Maybe like lie detector test?
I don't think they do that. Well, maybe they do. I don't know.
Internal investigation.
That's like he was trying to give them an internal investigation.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. No, you're too kind. I don't understand the need to do that. Isn't that one? I mean, look, we can just speak honestly as men here. Isn't that one of the perks of being a cop? Is that chicks are into you? Yeah. Really? I mean, how desperate are you?
The handcuffs and the black shoes and whatnot?
That's what I'm saying. You're a cop.
No, all I see. No, when I look at cops, I feel like they could get me in trouble.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't find cops attractive.
Well, you don't. Well, but
I don't know anybody actually. Any of my girlfriends who would be like, a cop is hot.
Well, no, that's because your friends are all hooligans and lawbreakers, though. Your friends probably don't. Your friends, but here's the thing: is that your friends? But there is, I don't know. I mean, it's not like a type of woman, but I mean, your friends are a lot like you. You're all kind of in the same social group with the same general sort of interests and so forth. So it makes sense, though, that your friends would not be into cops if you're not. Just like it would make sense that, like, your friend Lenny and her friends aren't big Lawrence Welk fans. I mean, that makes sense because you're all kind of in the same whatever.
I like watching Cop Talk, though, when it's on.
But it's Cop Talk. Whatever happened to that show?
It's still on. It's hard to find. It's on Public Access Channel 11, different times, wherever you are.
Cop Talk is
but
the
that
best.
Is the best police show ever, and their local cops are from Hillsborough, I believe.
Cop Talk is the best show. It's just two guys sitting. It's on
waiting for phone calls
that never come. Phone call, Dynamite style.
Almost, when they do come, the phone doesn't work.
It's all Cop Talk is this program. It's filmed. I don't know if it's filmed at Comcast or if it's filmed like downtown or like some dude's house. But it's like two cops sitting with like a bad. Remember, you know those commercials on TV? Have you been injured in an auto accident? Would you like to find a big cash settlement? And it's a guy standing in front of cardboard books with a fake plant. It's two cops in a set like that, all threadbare, on either side of a coffee table with a phone on it that never rings, looking into the camera, shifting uncomfortably in their seat, big pauses, long gaps of silence. Silence, the sound of flies buzzing around the studio because there's nothing else happening, and then at the end of 58 long, excruciating, uncomfortable minutes saying, well, that's it for another episode of Cop Talk. Join us next week, and wait, is that a phone call? No. So, I'm Officer Hildebrandt. And we used to just sit at the old Cave to K building and just watch. If you were high, that would be the it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen, and I wasn't high.
It's like been on for a long time.
I can't remember that guy's name, the crazy old guy who does the show where he talks about how to make like peanut butter sandwiches.
I know you're talking about that old guy. What is his name?
I don't know, but I met him at the Soapbox Derby.
This is really just the most inside talk right now, but there's this old guy that does a public access show. And
he'll be in a park, and he'll just be looking at a leaf and describe the leaf to you for about 10 minutes, and it is just...
It's gripping.
When you're drunk, it is the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Even when you're not... And Laura was drunk, but she's like, you gotta come... This was like a couple years ago. She's like, you gotta come down here and watch this!
I met that guy at the Soapbox Derby, and it was like meeting a celebrity. I'm like, oh my God, I love your show! And he interviewed my friend Amanda and
really? My drug-using friends and I love your program! No, Laura, we were at the old house, and she's like, you got to come down and watch this. I walked on the stairs, and it's this old guy. It's this James Cromwell-looking guy. And he's on the telephone going, well, you know, sometimes I like pancakes. And, you know, I like...
And that is, there's nothing more to it. The camera's just set up, and he sits there.
Like one angle, never moves.
This one, my favorite one, was when he was sitting in a park on a bench. Brought all the ingredients to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he proceeded to make a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He's like, first I'll take the bread.
Yeah.
Then I peanut butter both sides of the bread. Then I'll put the jelly on.
That is totally... But, and I know...
I like jelly.
And I know we're making it sound really horrible. It is not... It really is strangely fascinating. The guy's got some weird charisma to him.
And he never
really
stops talking.
This is the time I tuned in. He's sitting there in his kitchen. He'd set up the camera in his kitchen, one angle, never moving. No, and he's sitting there making waffles. And he's going... Well, you know, some people like pancakes, and that's okay, too. But I really prefer waffles. Waffles are sort of like... they're like high-tech pancakes. They're like you took a pancake and made it even better because you gave it all these individual pockets to hold the syrup. With a pancake, the syrup just sort of rolls away. With the waffle, though. And, the frightening great thing about it is that it's sort
of
a
lot of fantastic observations.
And it's a window into what I'm going to be like when I get old. Just sitting there on a bench speaking to the pigeons as though they understand what I'm saying. You know, the Howells had all this stuff, but it was only a three-hour tour. Why were they taking all their luggage? That's sort of the thing I think about. And if the professor could build a radio out of coconuts, why couldn't he just fix the goddamn boat? It doesn't make any... Our phone lines are open. And it's just going to be... You know, and the little pigeons milling around while I'm... A long time. First time. Just insane, talking to myself.
We should have that guy on the show.
That guy?
Yeah.
Me when I'm old? Oh, no, the guy from... We should do... This is a great idea. As a bit, we should do a visit from our future selves. That's a great idea.
Can I have the mom from Arrested Development on?
Yeah, totally. Where I interview myself at the age of 75. You know what I mean? Switch to... All right. Well, okay. It's just make it. That's an interesting idea. I don't know what will. Tim's got that look on his face like, I don't know what's going on here again. I'm sorry. I've done that thing where I was going to say like one sentence, and now I've been talking about waffles in the voice of an old guy that no one in the audience knows.
Can we get that guy on the show?
Oh, he's fantastic.
Wait,
here we go. Here we go. This is not him, but this is, hello, Mike.
Yes.
What's up, brother?
Not much. Noah Larson is the old guy you are thinking of.
Is that the old guy? The guy who just sits there and goes, I like to crochet.
Yeah, and he says, and that a lot.
Yeah.
Noah Larson.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
I wonder if he, just see him.
I was actually on his show on Sunday.
What?
From the Soapbox Derby.
Oh, really?
He was shoving his microphone in Amanda and my face was, like, trying to get us to talk, and he had his camcorder in one hand and this microphone. He's like, talk about the soapbox races.
I do love nubile young women.
He did.
Yeah.
He was a saucy guy.
Really? Was
mm-hmm.
he? Well, you know, that's pretty cool, though. I mean, I got to say, that's pretty happening. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Best show ever.
Thank you, sir. Noah Larson. I do like that guy, and then I swear to God we'll do news. Just for the same reason that I used to go, I don't do this anymore, but when I was, you know, in my 20s or whatever, my friend Todd and I, we used to do, like, you know, like open mic night and whatever, like bar. Like, we would just go around and we'd, you know, just go up and sing a few songs and whatever and just hang out, and we had some musician friends and whatever. And there was this one old guy that would come out, and he was like 82, and he would come out to the open mic night, and he would kind of go up, and they'd say, okay, Jim, your turn. He'd go up, and he'd sing a couple songs that he'd written, and they were, you know, not all that great and whatever, but you know what? It's cool to see an old guy out there doing a thing. You know what I mean? Old guy out there, maybe it's not the greatest thing, maybe it's not, you know, groundbreaking or whatever, but an old guy who's not just sitting home and, like, stinking. Here's Tim Riley.
So, getting back to the story, of Officer John Wood, who is no longer employed,
bam,
a third woman remembers the morning Wood stopped her, and he asks her repeatedly to show him a tattoo of her groin.
What?
He asked her repeatedly to show him a tattoo on her groin.
Oh, of? I thought you said of her groin.
No.
Look at my shoulder. It's a tattoo of my groin.
She returned to Spokane and hasn't been able to sleep since.
Of course she did. A tattoo on your groin?
Yes. Well, she's from Spokane.
And apparently doesn't have any nerve endings. All right.
Ah.
Seriously. That's bite down hard, sister.
Are we waiting for a comeback here of some sort?
All right.
Let's do Democracy on the March. This comes here from Baghdad. Gunmen dressed as police commandos kidnapped up to 150 staff and visitors in a lightning raid on an educational ministry office today, the largest mass abduction since the start of the U.S. occupation. Five senior police officers, including the neighborhood police chief, were later arrested. Meantime, at least 82 were killed and or found dead in murders, bombings, and clashes nationwide. Iraq's higher education minister immediately ordered all universities closed until security improvements are made.
Security improvements, by the way.
Don't want any more professors to get killed.
By which we mean just leveling the country. And so it is time for what the tech guys would call a hard reboot. If this is like we were talking about Don and Mike and their phone problems. Here's the thing with Iraq. You just got to take the battery out, unplug it, let it sit at least 30 seconds. Reboot, please.
This comes to us from the Taliban heartland. On a television screen, the two naked young women right together to the sounds of Hotel California to an occasional cackle of gunfire in the Afghan night. Several overseas phone numbers...
The opening line to the worst romance novel ever written.
Several overseas phone numbers offer intimate chat with the ladies. The heaviest fighting in 5 years has slowed down reconstruction to a crawl in the deserts and oasis of Kandahar, where the strict Islamic Taliban movement began in 1994. But pornography, opium, and illegal alcohol are flourishing.
Oh, yeah, this is in Afghanistan. I read a thing about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and that was our whole thing. We went over and kicked everything in the country over like Godzilla, and right. Now it's just a mecca of drugs and porn.
Mm-hmm. At least one satellite operator is offering foreign channels such as Erotic TV, All Sex, 247 Sex, and Transsex, along with the God Channel and the Church Miracle and Hope channels. In a country where converting to Christianity from Islam carries a death penalty, the Christian channels are just as offensive to some as... they're just as offensive to some as pornography. Yes, pornography is a problem amidst the new provincial police chief. According to our Islamic rules and beliefs, people cannot accept this kind of thing. He believes pornography, drugs, and alcohol, especially in the traditional city of Kandahar, underline the need for President Karzai's plan to reestablish Taliban Department for the Prevention of Vice and Promotion of Virtue, better known as the Religious Police.
Better known as beheadings.
All of them in Afghanistan wear a headscarf or an all-covering burqa, and they can be shunned by their community for simply appearing on television, even with their head covered.
And go, Afghanistan, our partners in peace. There's your democracy on the march. Yeah. Let's see. We got this. This is about the Lisa Goddard, of course. Rick. Where the hell did I... Where the hell would they put this here? I've lost it. It was an observer. Oh, here we go. Rick, holy crap. Lisa Goddard rules. She just compared Trent Lott to Steve Spurrier, one of the greatest... I thought this was a sports reference, but I didn't want to look at dumb by asking what the hell she was talking about. Lisa Goddard compared Trent Lott to Steve Spurrier, one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. For the majority of your audience, Rick, that would be analogous to referring to Trent Lott as a halfling with a +6 dexterity bonus and a healing spell. All we can hope is that... All we can hope is that Retardgor Sporebert changed... That was Robert, by the way, who said that, not me. Sporebert changes his mind, and Lisa is able to express her true love for you. That's Rob. See, that's the sort of comment that comes from the audience that I cannot... I can't take part in any such... Here's Tim.
Well, it's back to school for the president. Let's leave no president behind. He met with a bipartisan panel.
You're doing a great job. You're terrible!
He's looking at what's going on in Iraq and how to move forward from there.
It's going great. We're all going to die!
Texas Republican John Cornyn, who sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee, was asked by the president what he was hoping to accomplish.
Well, I think, as he said, after the election, and obviously no one is happy with the way things are progressing in Iraq right now, we need new ideas and a fresh set of eyes on the problem.
Fresh ideas.
Chinese. It's going really well.
There's the new Senate Majority Leader. His name is Harry Reid. He's from Nevada.
See, that's not... I think we're all a little high today. Harry Reid.
Yes, Harry says...
I don't even understand why that's funny.
I don't know.
He says Democrats will do what voters ask them to do.
We want to make sure that we're safe here at home and abroad. We want to fight for middle-class America. The middle class is being squeezed. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer.
Squeezed.
They're squeezing the juice out of them.
They're being fondled.
Harry Reid's squeezing the juice.
I just like the part where he says
we
want to
make sure that we're
squeezed.
Safe.
Squeezed.
Here at home and abroad.
Wait for
it. We want to fight for middle-class America. The middle class is being squeezed. Squeezed. The rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer.
It's all pulp. No juice. Well, Hillary Clinton is back in the news again, this time talking about health care. She tried to have health care reform in 1993, but was laughed out of that. So she says she's back, and the issue of health care is back. Now the Democrats are back in power.
The whole issue of health care is coming back. That may be a bad dream for some, but for others, it's a very welcome possibility, because we are on an unsustainable course.
Okay. By the way, here's something you never want to see in your inbox. Hey, Rick, read this G.I. Joe erotic fan fiction.
That sounds bizarre.
No, I don't think I'm going to do that, but thank you, sir. Oh, here we go, about cops. Oh, I'm sorry, and I'm glad I read... Okay, you've got to put it in the subject line. Don't say my name. Thankfully, this person put it in as the opening line. But, Rick, it is true about cops and groupies. We used to call them badge bunnies, which is like buckle bunny.
What's a buckle bunny?
A buckle bunny is a rodeo groupie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like those, you know, those, I'm not saying that they're at KUPL events, but you know what I'm talking about. Those girls that are all over the sort of pseudo cowboy guys. Yeah, those are buckle bunnies. So this person says, and this person is in a position to know, I can tell by the email address. Yes, we used to call them badge bunnies. Rick, this email said, this is the G.I. Joe erotic fan fiction. He opens it with, oh sweet fish juggling zombie Jesus. It must be some sort of reflection on me, and not in a good way, that I immediately thought of you, Rick Emerson, when I saw this. And then F Matt with Cobra, he says. Well, I'll open it, and we'll kind of see. We'll kind of see how it goes later on. Oh, good God. Okay. This archive contains erotic fan fiction from various sites around the Internet involving G.I. Joe.
Ew.
Okay. Let's see.
Are they still images, or is it...
No, this is text. For example, one of these G.I. Joe fan fiction stories about the erotica is A Love So Forbidden, based on the G.I. Joe animated cartoon episode entitled Computer Complications. After a mission, Mainframe sneaks away for a romantic rendezvous with Zorana of the Dreadnoughts. Good God almighty. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a lot of New Yorkers, we found a couple here, like the fact that Rudy Giuliani is considering a run for the White House in 2008.
When he focuses on the small things, I think he can tend to get a little overzealous, but I think when he's looking at national and worldwide issues, I think he's the man.
By the way, guess who I heard from this morning? Gary Baumgarten, formerly of CNN, now working at paltalk.com. We're actually going to talk to Gary later on next hour. He was so great. He emailed me this morning. He's like, Rick, I do the voice. It was an email. It was Rick. Gary Baumgarten here. I'd love to come on today and talk about Rudy Giuliani and Hillary Clinton. And I talked to him a little bit. I did not press him for information about anybody at CNN, not even about, our friend the Booker. I didn't ask him to speak ill of anybody. Didn't do that. It's not Rick Emerson's style. It was pretty great. You could tell that he wanted to come back on. So we're going to talk to him next hour, get his thoughts on, because there's a big article in the Daily News. Big article in the Daily News saying we may get it. It may happen. Hillary versus Giuliani. Be still my beating heart. Listen to this, Sarah Dillon. One of these stories here at the G.I. Joe Erotic Fan Fiction Archive.
Yes.
Is called Pizzazz and Fox. This story is...
Pizzazz from Jem and the Holograms?
Now listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying now.
She was head mitzvah. Okay.
This story is... a special crossover story involving G.I. Joe and Jem.
Well, Pizzazz is Jem's enemy.
I know. Pizzazz of the Misfits, Tomax and Zaymot of the Cobra Crimson Guard, and David Xanatos. Just so you know.
Awesome.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is claiming that the world has agreed to live with a nuclear Iran. He speaks to us here through an interpreter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really was distracted by G.I. Joe fan erotica.
As anyone would be.
Okay.
We
listen to
are now able to have such capability, and I'm confident that in this current year we will be able to have an enormous festivity to celebrate our nuclear technology.
Looks like the Germans are up to their old tricks again. They've been caught posing for photographs with human skulls.
Those darn Germans.
Now, according to the German Defense Ministry, it says 5,000 troops have been questioned about the pictures. Earlier, German officials denied officers knew about the photos, some of which are described as lewd. Defense officials now say a ranking doctor learned about the photos and told the lieutenant. The officer told the leader of a patrol who was involved there, saying it was unacceptable, especially for Germans. A defense spokesman said the two officers behaved... incorrectly.
Okay. The Misfits walked in looking cross. Probably something Jem had done, he mused. Eric tried to pacify them and show that they had a guest.
Ooh, Eric was the head of the label that they were on. Eric was a bad man.
Fox got up from her chair and faced them. Hello, Pizzazz. Who is Pizzazz? She's from the Misfits?
Pizzazz from the Misfits.
Misfits, but the Jem Misfits. Long time no see. Look who dropped back in from off the face of the earth, Pizzazz said sarcastically. What are you doing here, asked Roxy.
By the way, I've told you I own the entire Gem series, right?
I've seen it. I saw it sitting at your house. I have a business proposition. Where? I thought this was supposed to be erotic fan fiction.
Well, they're getting to the business proposition. They have to set it up a little bit. The guy has to deliver the pizza at the beginning.
I'm not one usually to agree with old Roxy over here, but she's right, said Jetta, eating some pasta. What kind of porn is this? Okay, hold on. Let's see. Sue led them to the back of the parlor, where a man was getting another tattoo. A skinny girl with short black hair and lip and eyebrow piercings, black lipstick and fingernail polish immediately recognized the Misfits. Oh my God, I'm your biggest fan. I'm Elmira. Isn't Elmira the girl from Tiny Toons? Are you getting tattooed? No, she is, Stormer indicated Fox.
Ooh, is it a lesbian?
I don't know. There's really no...
Is this a Lynn Cheney novel?
Well, it is pretty detailed.
What tattoo are you getting? I have a rose on my shoulder and I'm getting a thorn anklet. This is terrible. Whoever wrote this doesn't really know how to write this. No? No? I'm just skipping pages and pages ahead now. No? No? No?
There's no light at the end of this.
No, really, there is nothing. I
think of a clever way to wrap this segment up. make something up.
Maybe a study group.
And then, no. Well, look, when something is labeled as G.I. Joe... Oh, wait, here we go.
Oh.
Wait, hold on.
Pick anything.
How many pages are you into it?
This is like an 80-page story. The door knocked.
The door knocked?
I'm just reading it, okay? It's fan fiction. You're expecting Fitzgerald? Somebody sent this to me. What's his name? The guy who sent this to me is Dave. David sent me this G.I. Joe erotic fan fiction. This is G.I. Joe erotic fan fiction, also featuring characters from Jim. The door knocked. Somehow. Casually dressed, pizzazz, well, casually dressed for a misfit anyway, went to answer the door, half hoping some gossip monger would see Rio and her together, and half hoping they wouldn't. Who's Rio?
Oh, Rio is Jim's boyfriend.
She gasped when she looked through the peephole and quickly...
But Rio's like a two-timing bastard because he was with Jim and Jerrica.
Okay.
Nobody points that out.
Wow, she said. Hi, Zartan said, sounding exactly like Rio. Hi. Hello, this is fantastic. Is it hot where you are? Can I come in? Sure, pizzazz stepped aside and watched Rio...
Zartan?
Rio walk in. Zartan had it all down. Body language, walk, hands in the pockets, everything. Oh, that Zartan. So, Rio, what are you doing here? I came to see you. Why? Why, Zartan? Why do you do these things? We should break.
Yes, I'm the loving God.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. We come back. Tim Riley ends this sorry charade by taking us back to the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM970 Solid State Radio. Rio, what are you doing here? I came to see you. Why? I thought you wanted Jem and Jerrica. Forget them. I was blind to what's in front of me.
Really?
Yes. Rio moved closer to pizzazz.
Ooh, it's getting sexy now.
Tell me what you find so attractive about me. Tell me more about my eyes.
Your style, your attitude, your toughness. Your green hair. I've always fantasized about running my hands through your green hair. Rio said intently.
Well, Rio has purple hair.
If there's one thing Zartan learned in all his time studying pizzazz, it's that there was something... Okay, I have to close. Would you like something to drink, pizzazz, Chester? Do a bottle of wine? All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry.
A Southern California company that makes talking Jesus dolls that quote the Bible have been told thanks but no thanks with a charity donation. The U.S. Marine Corps Reserve's Toys for Tots program has rejected the Jesus dolls. 4,000 of them saying religious items aren't appropriate because the program donates to children of all religions. The Valencia Toy Company said the donation is worth about $80,000 and the rejection violates their own mission to help the needy children.
I wonder how we can, you know, we should sell for the kids this. We should sell a talking, we have like a talking Scotty J doll or a Tim Riley doll,
yeah.
A Clyde Lewis doll.
Yeah.
There you go. That'd be fantastic. Susan Reynolds, pleased to be looking into that. Here's Tim Riley. Is this Bank A?
This is B.
B. Okay, here we are. We're ready.
As in birthday. A report released yesterday by the Central Intelligence Committee believes Fidel Castro may not live to see the new year. Perhaps they confused him with Dick Clark, says Cuba's National Assembly leader Ricardo Alarcón.
I know that he's well and he continues with his recovery.
Castro's going to be like a Frank Sinatra. I mean, that guy will be dead for 10 years. They'll still be insisting he's fine, up and around, joking with doctors. They'll be like, I'm telling you this right now. I am making this prediction. Castro will someday die, and he will assume a religious status in that country, almost godlike status, and they will claim to have seen him walking around, living among the people, even after he's dead.
Well, the city of Farmers Branch, Texas, has unanimously voted to make English the official language of that prairie town. Councilman Tim O'Hara said that sets English as the official language, and it only pertains to city business.
This is not meant to keep anyone from speaking Spanish or any other language other than English in their home, at their workplace, out in public, or anywhere else.
Well, that's mighty wide of you.
It's fine if they speak Spanish with their own kind at home.
It is simply acknowledging that English is the country of this language, and we want to adopt it for that purpose.
It's the country of... Okay. Really, sometimes the irony meter is just off the charts. Let's listen to this redneck one more time.
It is simply acknowledging that English is the country of this language, and
now
we want to adopt it for that purpose.
Really? No Texan left behind.
Apparently, pig English is what they speak down there. Fantastic. Well done. I couldn't have scripted that any better. Excellent.
No need to speak English. You buy an Oregon Christmas tree. Roughly 13% of the Christmas trees harvested in Oregon are being sold in Mexico. Nearly one quarter of all Christmas trees sold in the United States are Oregon grown. But growers are looking to international markets because they need customers to buy 3 million additional trees this year. There are just too many of them. Meanwhile, hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons has a new fragrance. It is called Atman, a skankrit word meaning God or divine self.
I'm sorry? A skankrit word?
Apparently so.
What is this?
Oh, is this a... Yeah.
What is the language of...
Skankrit... Well, we're not in Texas.
Sanskrit?
Oh, I believe that is the word.
I prefer skankrit.
Well, it means...
Where's my check?
It means God or divine
Who
self.
Who that hoe I saw you talking to?
Mr. Simmons says he's pleased with the success of the cologne thus far.
It's in stores. It's selling very well. They said God wouldn't sell, but God is selling very, very well. So we're going to get money back, hopefully millions of dollars because of this perfume that we have.
Here's the thing. Sometimes the result of us joking over the news story and not even listening to what Tim is saying is that we then play sound bites and they don't make any sense either.
Well, that's fine.
Well, that's okay. We thought it was skankrit, and really, that's funnier than anything that the sound bite could actually have contained.
So they're selling... Never mind.
Yes?
I don't know.
What's your question?
I want to hear more Rio porn.
It's in the store. It's selling very well. They said God wouldn't sell, but God is selling very, very well. So we're going to get money back, hopefully millions of dollars because of this perfume that we have.
I think Kanye West.
Why do you do these things?
Sorry.
I think Kanye West showed us that God does sell.
It really is true. Did you see that thing? Did you see Kanye West losing his
temper? Oh, my God.
That was
just embarrassing to watch.
It was like a full-on Faith Hill moment, but better. Faith Hill rarely had a Kanye West moment. When he didn't win at the European MTV Awards and he just went nuts. And he's only, the award ceremony loses credibility if I don't win. You really got to admire that guy. I mean, I everybody hates that guy now, but I don't, man. I think it's pretty cool that he is sort of the Muhammad Ali of the rap game, as they say, that he's just, man, he's all mouth, and he sold like a billion records, which is, so he can sort of back it up. I think that's pretty great. I dig that guy. He's just got attitude to burn. He is entertaining. That's the thing about Kanye West. He is entertaining, and there's a sad lack of that in this, what? Really? In the Waves folder? Okay, well, hold on. Let me look. Scotty J. Sarah. I don't see anything that says skanks and whores. I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
Just play what he put in there.
Certainly, there must be a file by that name.
Anywho.
No.
I actually say I'm gay all the time.
No.
I hope you're not mad at me. P.S. You can touch it.
What the hell was that?
Oh, that was for Peter Carlin. Scotty J. I smelled my hand and I made everyone else smell my hand. I want to get laid tonight. We were a lesbian couple. Why is everyone calling me for the alcohol? You should be giving it to me, Brad.
Because you're a drunkard.
Thank you, Rick. I'd rather be a whore than a fatty cake.
No, that's the closest we've got. There's no skank and whore.
I asked Scotty J to pull a... can you ask Scotty, did you pull out that soundbite I asked you to yesterday?
Which one? Which one did you pull out? Is it the... hold on. Which one is it?
Did he write back?
Wait, hold on. Which soundbite did you ask him to pull? Let's see. Is it Now, let's see. Is it the... this is gripping. No, I got nothing. I can't find it. All right, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley.
Katie Holmes is getting a fabulous Armani gown for her wedding. Tom Cruise's bride-to-be went to La Bra Lingerie in West Hollywood. She spent more than $3,000 on lacy underthings, more than $100,000 on a bridal collection set. Among her purchases, a Chantilly Lace bridal collection, a bra that cost $440, a $340 thong.
Ew.
What?
A $340 thong. A garter belt for $220. Silk stockings for $95 for a total of $1,190. And additionally, Katie Holmes picked out a silk nightgown with a matching robe trimmed with ostrich feathers.
Are you making this up?
No. A silk nightgown with a matching robe trimmed with ostrich feathers.
Inlaid with the beaks of 1,000 eagles.
$620. A lace bra with crystal for $380. And a matching thong with crystals for $175.
This is like some Scientology. Right, this is like some Scientology Wheel of Fortune.
Two sets of silk pajamas and matching robes for $125 each. They weren't all white, but they were certainly they certainly weren't virginal, said one source. But she's a mom, so I guess that's appropriate.
They were total just skanky girls galore.
All right, that's what he's talking about. Vaginal?
I believe so, yeah.
Yes, vaginal. There is. this is the best show ever. It really is. Oh, fantastic.
Oh. Penny cake. Meanwhile, with gorgeous until their wedding, the Tomcats are now in Italy. Seven-month-old baby Surrey and Tom's two adopted children, Isabella and Connor, came along for the nuptials.
No one calls them Tomcat. No one anywhere. That's a thing.
They might say it on the church side.
They keep trying to say that. They're trying to make us use that phrase.
They call baby Surrey Tom Kitten.
Do they?
Yes.
Or are you just trying to start that right now? Are you that a thing you're trying
to
create?
No, I hate the splicing of two names together.
It's just retarded. It really is stupid.
So they get married on Saturday. Other stars planning to attend the event are Will Smith and his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Andrea Brackley, the famous tenor from Tuscany, is also expected to perform.
That's it?
Well, talk show host Oprah Winfrey has been left off the wedding guest list. She tells Extra, quote, "It's not that I'm not going. It's that they had a limited number of people they could invite. Yeah. I was not one of the invitees." Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Everybody's...
I don't get invited to everyone's wedding, you know. I don't invite them to everything I do.
Oh.
But I wish him all the best.
Somebody's unhappy.
She says she also has a great deal of respect for Cruise and Holmes.
Somebody's going to do some binge eating. All right. The thing about Tom Cruise, I put my finger on it. Here's what makes him look... What do you mean it sounds like your life, Scotty? In what way is your life like Oprah Winfrey's? Please now to be explaining. All right, you just think about it. Oh, he's always at the second taxi. The thing about Tom Cruise, I put my finger on what makes him look so crazy. It's the sunglasses. It is the sunglasses. I mean, and the fact that he's crazy makes him look crazy. But, I mean, I'm saying visually...
Not the maniacal smile and the crazy laughing.
But, but that's the thing is, that's the other thing.
Well, those glasses are left over from Risky Business.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like, don't they look like he wears those big Yoko Ono, like full-on alien wraparound Terminator shades? I mean, they're just, it's unnerving when you can't see somebody's eyes. And then, yes, when you couple it with that maniacal, toothy grin of his, this is a thing where his perfect smile has really started to become to the, it's to his detriment now, because it does make him look all kinds of crazy. You're right, it's the grin and it's the sunglasses. So
I've just never ever thought that he was hot when I was younger.
I don't know that he's, I mean, here's the thing about a guy like Tom Cruise, because I used to think this about Nicole Kidman. I believe, here's the deal about Tom Cruise. See, he's a little too clean for you. That's the thing. He's a little too polished. You know what I mean? You like a guy with some rough edges to him. Tom Cruise, an absence of rough edges.
The visible rough edges, because guys like Tom Cruise always turn out to be the crazy ones.
No, yeah. So
they hide the crazy underneath their, like, squeaky clean image.
But I'm saying, strictly physically speaking, you like a guy that's, you know, this is not the...
A little roughed up.
Looks like he's been dragged behind a car for a while. No, you know what I mean? The guy that's just got a little, you know, that looks like a real person. Whereas Tom Cruise, he always looks like he just stepped out from being airbrushed somewhere. And it's like the teeth and it's like the perfect hair. I used to think the same thing about Nicole Kidman back when she was really young. Like, and when she was doing that My Life movie with Queen Latifah and Michael Keaton, she was actually so bizarrely attractive in that movie that I found it distracting. I found it difficult to watch that movie and to focus on it, and to focus on Michael Keaton's tearful goodbye to his son he was never going to know. Because every time Nicole Kidman would come on the screen, I would just be sort of blinded by the fact that she was so unbelievably perfect. And it was just sort of, and it would kind of freak me out a little bit. I'm trying to think if there's anybody like that now that is actually distractingly attractive, so much so that you can't even focus
Scarlett
on
Johansson.
Them. Yeah, totally. No, you're completely right about that. Match Point. That was the whole problem with Match Point. I was constantly and continually distracted by her.
Man,
Match Point.
And thanks for warning me about that movie.
Match Point?
Yeah. You didn't really tell me how everything kind of
went
down.
Yeah, big downhill. Yeah. Big buzzkill.
Watch that on my anniversary.
Oh!
Real good.
Bam!
You said that it was a really good mystery, Woody Allen. I didn't know all
it was it's Hitchcockian. It's a Hitchcockian thriller. Did you see Match Point?
No.
Yeah, it's a great movie. But the thing is...
Did you say grim? That's exactly what it is.
It is great, but it is grim. It's so well. That's what's so weird about it is it is so unlike almost anything he's ever done. Because Woody Allen films, even the ones that are kind of serious, are typically they're sort of whimsical. There's a lot of comedy to them. Even like Manhattan, which is a very not dark, but it's Manhattan is it has a movie that has some real pathos to it. Crimes and Misdemeanors is another one, which is my favorite Woody Allen film. Crimes and Misdemeanors has sections that are pretty dark, but it's also hilarious. It's a dark comedy. Deconstructing Harry, very dark comedy. Match Point, no comedy at all. Just the comedy has been vacuum sealed right out of it, and it's just Scott Daly and I, and it's because we're both married men. Scott Daly and I are sitting there watching it, and it's just we are climbing the walls because it was so stress-inducing.
And it's so uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. You're just watching, it's going, no, God! You know, just and it's like I got out of that movie and I felt like someone had taken my stomach and just twisted it into knots.
It's horrible. It's one of those movies that makes you lose your faith in love.
Totally.
It's like nothing ever works out.
No, we're all doomed. That is sort of a common theme in Woody Allen movies, by the way, is that everything is doomed in the end. In the end, everyone loses. Here's Tim Riley.
Dateline, Glad, Romania.
Glad?
Yep. The name of this Romanian village means mud. And that's exactly what the angry locals are throwing at comedian Sacha Baron Cohen. He used Glad's gypsies as stand-ins in his runaway hit movie. And he paid them generously from $3.30 to $5.50 to make absolute fools of themselves and put animals in their homes.
that is like a year's pay there.
Apparently, residents and local officials of this hardscrabble hamlet, 85 miles northwest of Bucharest, say they're horrified and humiliated to learn that their poverty and simple ways are ridiculed in the movie.
This hardscrabble hamlet? Somebody at the AP thinks they're writing a novel.
We thought they came here to help us, not mock us, says Dana, who's 40, as she was sweeping a manure-stained street lined with shabby homes of crumbling brick and corrugated steel sheathing. Only five villagers have jobs at a nearby sanitarium and a stone quarry. The Westerly baskets grow apples, pears, and plums, gather mushrooms in the mountains, or raise a few scrawny chickens.
So do you think that they were exploited since you thought?
Who can see that would be made fun of, and they live in a town called Mud?
The mood in Glad, however, is tense and volatile, with crowds of angry, shouting villagers repeatedly gathering around reporters. One man was seen slapping his sister, who also appeared, and another slammed the gate of his ramshackle home shut. And at one point, a resident threatened news photographers with a town stick, and another pelted their cars with rocks.
With a town stick.
It is a hard scrabble town.
Schlink, where is the town stick? I wish to threaten this filmmaker. In a town called Mud. Isn't that a song by The Jam? In a town called Mud. Okay, here you go. What a town without mud can do. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's reboot for a new selection of A's, shall we?
Okay, let me do that. Meanwhile, Scotty is saying Nicole Kidman was hot in that movie where her sailboat was overtaken by the crazy guy in the ocean. Dead Calm. Maybe. Dead Calm, is that also Al Pacino? No, I'm thinking of something else. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, for the first time in 50 years, Colonel Sanders is undergoing an image upgrade, and apparently it's being done by some agency here in Portland. We don't know which one specifically, but it's from here. Kentucky Fried Chicken wants you to know that the Colonel was a real chef back when he was alive. Now he will lose his white suit jacket and put on a red cook's apron. Ad exec David Ashtel says being relevant is fine, but KFC, no doubt, learned from its mistakes a few years ago when they introduced a hip-hop Colonel that flopped.
I don't remember that.
It was an animated Colonel dancing to hip-hop music. You know, it was go Colonel, go Colonel.
Okay,
wow.
Seriously, somebody, I will give, Scotty, where are those onion books? Okay, I'm putting a bounty out right now. If the first person who can find me, like the
YouTube, rapping colonel.
The rapping Colonel Sanders. Yeah, okay, so we'll give, I don't know, we have a whole pile of new books from The Onion. The first person who can find me and send to me, and I'll just go by the first one that appears in the box, in my inbox, I'll do it by placement. First person who can send me the rapping Colonel Sanders, you will get a something shiny for the
8930
pile of crap.
KFC would actually even have to advertise, because I think there are people who go to KFC and there are people who don't.
That's, you are completely correct about that. You are totally right.
It's an NASCAR crowd.
No, well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, here's the thing about KFC, and I don't mean to knock their food, because my family ate there, you know, when I was growing up, and I don't really now. But the thing is about KFC, do you notice this? The KFC used to have this sort of all-you-can-eat chicken thing that they would do. And when I was a young and hungry DJ, I would occasionally do that. Because when you're a DJ, or anybody who doesn't have a lot of money, you learn to stake out mentally where all the all-you-can-eats are in town. Any place that is that has a buffet or a smorgasbord, or any place with unlimited refills, then I know this makes me sound pathetic, but I just had no money. And so I would learn these things. Like, I would go to an all-you-can-eat, but I would go like half an hour before closing. And the deal is, I would eat really slowly, and then at the end, I would just offer the guy like $5 for whatever they weren't going to keep. Like, I would just go to like whatever, like a Godfather's.
Maybe ketchup and the applesauce.
No, fingerprints all over the counters. Can I like your spatula? How much for the garbage squeezings? But I would go to Godfather's, and they would do like an all-you-can-eat thing on Mondays, and it closed at 8:30, and I would go about 8:15, and then I would just, you know, whatever, like have a slice or two, and then they would have like four pizzas, and the guy's getting ready to chuck them, and I'd be like, oh, I'll give you $5 for those, and he just, the $5 goes in his pocket, pizza like goes in my car. That's what I used to do. And every so often we would go to the KFC, which at that point was still Kentucky Fried Chicken, for the all-you-can-eat, which is a much better idea. Then it sounds like then it is a reality, because you get like three bites into that and you feel like all the water has been removed from your body. You get about halfway through one of those pieces of chicken and your mouth is one big Sahara.
Ever since I read about them, you know, genetically engineering like headless chickens.
I think that's a scam. That's an urban legend.
Is it? Well, that was enough to put me off of it.
Well, what is the legend? By the way, we should say that we are speaking merely about something that I believe is an urban legend. Are you talking about where they bioengineered like a chicken with no feet and no feathers?
Yeah, like nothing. So it was just like, so they could use all of the chicken.
It was just like a big breast with eyes.
That's what I thought.
Scott, I'm sorry. You can take that out. It was just like, hello, I'm a huge wing with feet. And that was it. And there was like no feathers. I'm pretty sure that's fake. I think that's some Clyde Lewis facts, by which I mean stuff that's made up. I don't think that's real. That's just my speculation. Somebody will tell us. Scotty is telling us now that KFC is now the fast food place to go. Well, where
Scotty,
it was...
they totally have family night at KFC.
Well, totally. Well, what is that thing they sell now where it's just a big bowl of stuff? It's like a bunch of things. It's like a bunch of stuff that's like left over, and they just shove it into a bowl, and here you go, $4.99. Fantastic. Have some. Also, speaking of all-you-can-eats, it's the same with the Mongolian Grill. Do we all go to the... Tim, you probably go. Do you not go to the... Look at that face. That face... It was.
I just think that Mongolians would eat raw meat and not children. Take their time to cook it. They're so hungry.
The face you made was as though I tried to force feed you a baby just now. It was just a whole lot of. No, the thing about the Mongolian Grill is you go and you put down like your $8 or whatever, and you think you're really going to get your money's worth. They put some weird substance. This is an urban legend. I'm going to start right now. They put some weird substance in there, and I believe this, that actually eliminates your appetite after one round through. Because you go buy like the endless refills, you get one bowl through, and you're like, ah, I'm full. That's it.
Headless Mongolians.
I am a banana.
Okay.
It's like all-you-can-eat bacon night. You ever gone to an all-you-can-eat bacon night?
No.
What do you think?
No. Tim Riley probably has not. Sarah, no all-you-can-eat bacon. Let me just say this. It is the wave of the future, all-you-can-eat bacon. And the thing it is, you got to be really careful to how much you pay for your all-you-can-eat bacon night. Because you think you can eat a lot more bacon than you really can. And you get about six strips in, suddenly you're... And the bacon, there's no middle gear with bacon. That is a phrase no one else has ever used in the history of the world. There's no middle gear with bacon. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the International Atomic Energy experts, whoever they may be, have found unexplained plutonium and highly enriched uranium traces in a nuclear waste facility in Iran and have asked the capital for an explanation.
I'm sure it's nothing.
They also faulted Iran for not cooperating with the agency's attempt to investigate suspicious aspects of the nuclear program. But there's not much anybody can do about this.
Somebody claims to have sent me the rapping colonel.
All right.
Well, we don't have it. We'll look later. It's now this is just a still shot, sir. And Candace B. sending me is still like a JPEG. That doesn't count. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Burger King is trying to do something about their out-of-control customers. Burger King manager is charged with shooting a teenage boy dead after the two argued and the boy spit in the manager's face.
Oh, you know, you spit in my face, I've got a gun, you're going to die.
16-year-old Shaka Walcott and 45-year-old Ronald Johannes have been arguing for more than a week.
Shaka Walcott? Walk? Is that like shake a tail feather?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Police say the teenager returned to the Bronx Burger King Saturday night and was shot several times in the chest by the manager. Witnesses say Johannes also was injured in the fight, and he left the scene while the teenager was just on the ground. Police say Walcott was taken to the hospital. He was pronounced dead. Johannes was bleeding from gunshot wounds when he stumbled back home. They arrested him. Charged with murder, criminal possession of a weapon, customers at Burger King said Johannes was difficult to deal with and used to kick them out.
Oh, please. Dude, have we all? Who here has worked at fast food? Sarah? You have never worked at fast food? Tim, you have? Let me guess, Chick-fil-A.
No, I worked at a Burger King in the Valley of Los Angeles.
Oh.
In Van Nuys.
Oh, that's a special...
Van Nuys Burger King.
That's the ninth circle of hell.
I did work at a Red Robin.
Really? Well, that doesn't really count.
I worked at a lot of restaurants.
Does Red Robin have a drive-thru?
No.
Okay, that doesn't count. It's not fast food, I don't think, if it doesn't have a drive-thru.
No, they have, like, these broom handles full of onion rings that they serve to their customers.
I remember I worked at...
And then they have an ambulance standing by at the door.
I had them.
Everyone who goes to Red Robin, it's their birthday.
And they're always right next to you.
They're always right next to me.
They're always right next to you, and you're sitting there, and then suddenly the, out comes the balloons, mm-hmm. and then you know, and you realize you're going to get a migraine and the so forth and the hey. I worked at a Taco Time, man, and I remember, like, I thought, and I'm not saying it's not real meat. I'm just saying I don't know what it is because it's like a big... It's like a huge burlap bag.
You worked at Taco Time?
I worked at Taco
Time. Taco Time, are you going to ruin it for me?
No, I mean, do you think it's meat?
I thought it was.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think it's normal meat? Am I ruining any illusions that you might actually have that it came right from a cow?
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, it comes in a big burlap bag like you see coffee beans coming in.
How do we start talking about food again?
Tim was talking about Burger King, where apparently you have it his way or he'll shoot you in the goddamn head.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Here's Tim Ryan.
Well, all right. Time for your religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch.
We got a couple of them here.
For, Monday. No, Tuesday. Hello. Get the village stick.
Well, I'll give this my best shot, but this has been done in the money-saving micro font.
Oh, my God. That's minuscule.
Yes, it is.
Well, every penny saved is a penny earned.
It is. Conservative Christian organizers are contacting supporters to urge a Thanksgiving weekend boycott of Walmart stores. Good luck.
I thought we were already boycotting Walmart.
Because the company is offering to pay a commission to a small nonprofit gay organization for sending buyers its way. Each purchase made by clicking through the Washington, D.C. Center for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender People website to Walmart's retail site generates a payment to a group worth 5% of the sale. Donald Wildman, chairman of the Mississippi-based American Family Association, said Friday that his group has sent emails to 3 million supporters urging a boycott because the deal suggests Walmart executives believe a homosexual agenda is worthy of their support. That according to their latest Nuremberg rally.
Donald Wildman is crazy, by the way. Wildman the Wild Man, they call him. He was, Donald Wildman is one of the guys who spearheaded a lot of the music banning the movements in the whatever in the late 80s and so forth. Donald Wildman is the one responsible for a Frank Zappa album entitled Jazz from Hell being slapped with a parental advisory explicit lyric sticker. Jazz from Hell, bam, instrumental. There you go. There you go. That's Donald Wildman for you.
Meanwhile, a London woman is dead after being bitten by a snake during a Sunday church service. Neighbors near East London Holiness Church said the 48-year-old, they practice serpent handling.
I practice serpent handling myself.
Apparently, she was trying to handle a snake and it got out of hand. The name of the woman that has been withheld. Friends escorted the snake-bitten woman to a local hospital where she died. Yes, she was bitten by a snake at church. Snake handling is based on a passage in the Bible, in the Gospel of Mark, that says, a sign of a true believer is the power to take up serpents without being harmed.
Thou shalt be pinheaded and engage in foolish behavior.
I don't have no dealings with those snakes, said one parishioner, but they seem to handle them pretty good.
except for the dying part. That doesn't go so good. The rest of it's real good.
All right, there you go. There's your religious nothing. Let's go break here. Coming up, Jim Rope and the creepiest song ever. I swear to Holy God. Stay there. Back after this.